Well, evening all. I'm really encouraged to see you here, and it's great to be here together. And as we come around God's word, let me pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you for your word. It teaches us so much about you, about us, and this amazing world that you have made. Father, we ask as we come and see these few verses from the account of Matthew, give us ears to hear, a mind that can understand, and a will that will respond to you, our King, in your name and for your glory. Amen. Well, if you've not met me before, my name is Mark, and I'm the pastor of our sister church. It's called St. Richard's, and you'll find us on the southern side of Crowborough. Now, let me show you a picture of me. 19 years ago, this was taken. A somewhat nervous, younger, and dare I say slimmer version was me, was waiting patiently at the front of Pantiles Baptist Church in Tunbridge Wells as my wife-to-be walked down the aisle. Well, that day we made lifelong covenant agreement together, and the ring on my finger reminds me of those covenant promises and pledges all those years back. I want you to see this from Laura's perspective. That was the day that she gave up the comforts of her home and even the security of her family. That day she gave up her family name of 30 years. And for the sake of that day, she'd given up a secure job. And literally on that day, we had nowhere to live. Laura had no job to go to. In a sense, she had no friends locally that she could meet up with, and even a church family that she could call home. Here's the question then. So what could be so compelling for Laura that she, for that day, would give up her livelihood, her possessions, and her family? Me. Actually, I'm sure it's her love that drew her that day for that. Well, seeing I'm already taken, can I get you to turn our eyes to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm specifically looking at verses 18 to 22, because in it we're going to discover a guy that is so immeasurably more compelling, who evokes an affection in us that is so powerful that we are willing to let anything go, because he is the one who grants a livelihood that has supreme significance. He is the one that gives us possessions that have eternal worth. He is the one who adopts us into a family that is so large no one can number. In a sense, if there's anything you're going to take away tonight, it could be this phrase: Jesus, the compelling King, worthy of giving up anything to follow and fish for him. Jesus, the compelling King, worthy of giving up anything to follow and fish for him. Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks on Sunday evenings, you know we are taking a deep dive into the life and works that Matthew has recorded for us and the life of Jesus. And as Matthew heralds the arrival of the true champ, God's chosen King, he's also given us an insight into how people, various characters, respond to him. And in a sense, our quest has been, which one represents us? And so tonight, our passage will ask of us, what would it mean for me to have Jesus as my King? What would it mean for me? What would it take for me to have Jesus as my King? And as is normal for me, I'm going to split this down into three sound bites. A compelling call to a costly commitment with a contagious commission. So we're going to see a compelling call to a costly commitment to a contagious commission. Now imagine for a moment I'm sat down here, I'm sat with Nathan having a cup of coffee, and then I get up, walk down the aisle and just say, follow me. Do you know, I reckon I can count on one hand the number of you that are joining me outside, and three of those are my family. But imagine now, let's repeat that scene again, that scenario again. I'm walking down the aisle here and shout, follow me, fire! Now, I dare say a few more of you will follow me outside. Now, Tao, why is that? What has changed? Well, we suddenly grasp the bigger picture and how our life now depends on how we respond. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, we join Jesus as he walks along the side of the Sea of Galilee, shouting, "Follow me." And now if you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to chapter 4, verse 18, and particularly verses 20 and 21. How do they respond? Verse 20, immediately they left and followed him. Verse 21, immediately they left and they followed him. Which for these fishermen, as we look at them, there was no questions asked. They didn't finish fixing their nets. They didn't drag the boat in. They didn't even say goodbye to their father. They left immediately and followed him. As they grasp the bigger picture, they act as if their life depended upon it. In a way, this is where we get our first challenge for tonight. Do you know, every time we come here on Sundays, when we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he's taught, what we hear from the Bible, in a sense, Jesus is saying, follow me. Will you follow me for the first time? Will you follow me as if it was the first time? And if we were to act like these fishermen do, then we will act as if it is. Our life depends upon it. But maybe if we don't act like these fishermen do, leave everything behind, maybe we are struggling like the way Rico Tice describes it. He says in his course, Christianity Explored, he says, if Jesus isn't the best thing you've ever heard, then you know you have not understood him. If we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and following him is all about getting involved with a stuffy church or doing a list of rules, or it's leaving our brain at the door, or having our fun spoilt. If that's our impression of what it means to follow Jesus, then we can be sure we have not understood him. And it's why we as a church run courses such as Christianity Explored and Honest Questions. We want anybody who we come into contact with to have an informed decision whether to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or not. So I wonder how we might answer this question. What is it about Jesus that is so compelling that people are willing to give up anything for him? And if we don't yet know that question, then may I encourage you to get involved in one of those courses. If you want to find out more about our daytime course, which is Christianity Explored, then please have a chat with David and Elizabeth Buck. The two are up here earlier. They will be on the back. Have a chat with them. If it works better for you in the evenings, have a word with Nick Ashton. I can't see him. He's around somewhere probably. He's at the back. He's the lanky one here normally. Honest Questions, do have a chat with him, come along. We want you to have an informed decision about following the Lord Jesus Christ, even if that's not. Jesus is the compelling King, worthy of giving up anything to follow and fish for him. But Matthew is also keen to help us realize that there is a cost to this, though. For these fishermen, it was that they had to give up their livelihoods, their possessions, and their family. And if I'm going to be faithful to us here and kind to us here, I have to ask us the question, can we afford to follow him? What is the cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ? Becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a costly commitment. Now, that cost will vary to each one of us here. Some of us may well experience as the fishermen did. And if you know, if you're in contact with any Christians around the world, many do see how it affects their livelihoods and their possessions and their family. Now, just because it's a bit less obvious in the UK doesn't mean it doesn't happen. You know, I remember I worked for a company. I was a trainer in a company, and all the staff used to come through my training courses. And on one course, a lady really took a disliking to me, probably because our lifestyle choices were so different, to the point that she actually made an accusation against me to try and get me fired. Well, long story short, I kept my job, and within a couple of weeks, we actually had lunch together, which was really good. Yet for some of us, we may well lose that promotion at work because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us, well, actually, if you get the news feed from the Christian Institute, you know how businesses get cancelled, publicly cancelled, They lose contracts, they lose out because they are willing to do business on the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his way rather than the ways of the world. Do you know, a few years back, we're not even in a sense protected within the life of the church. A guy I knew from Oak Hill, on his first curacy, in his first few months of his curacy in Kent, got himself in all the tabloid newspapers because he was willing to preach a sermon on the role of men and women within the church and within marriage. At university, I got labelled all sorts of things because I wasn't the one sleeping around with everybody else, which seemed to be the common thing in those days. There is a cost to being a Christian. But as we found out on Wednesday, if you were here at the course, one of the greatest costs is actually in our family. It's a lady I knew in Medway Towns, and she had grown up in the JW network, but through the patience and the love of a Christian, she had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for herself. Now, that ultimately led her to being disfellowshipped from the JW network. When I met her, she hadn't spoken to her son for 30 years, now by accident that she had grandchildren. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is costly. And closer to home, as we found out on Wednesday at the Lent course, a number of us shared how the hardest part when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ is the effect it has really close at home. You know, once we get religion, we're treated differently. You know, we're no longer invited around as much as we were. People don't drop in as much as they did. Those conversations over Christmas meal at Easter just turn a little awkward. But Jesus is the compelling King. And like the fishermen, are we willing to give up anything to follow and fish for him? And there is actually another angle we can look at this. We're not going to dwell on it too much because of time. But for those of us who do already follow the Lord Jesus Christ, are there things in our lot we could probably call our pre-Jesus life that we're still not letting go of? But Jesus is the compelling King who calls us, despite it being a costly commitment, to be part of his contagious commission. Now, before Laura and I got married, the pastor of the church that we were part of in Tunbridge Wells, spent time taking us through the marriage course. And he wanted to ensure that we knew what we were getting ourselves into, so that when we said to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for poorer or destitute, in sickness and in menopause, we knew what we were getting into. That decision to commit wholly for our life to someone is based on so much more, isn't it, than can we afford it or how much do I like this person. It is making sure that we know what it means to be married, what it means to be committed to someone. So when Jesus said, come, follow me, he wasn't just saying, click the subscribe button and download my podcast every Sunday at the local church. That's not what he was saying. And the phrase that we said that we have, come follow, is probably better said as come after me. And like a coin, there's two sides to what he is calling us to do here. And the two sides, he's calling us to emulate him as those who will be his successor. Emulate him, he's saying, learn my ways, live like me, speak like me, think like me, love like me, act like me, do as I do. I don't know about you, but I have a real problem in deciphering twins. You know, you get identical twins or even near identical. I can't tell them apart. In a sense, emulate me. Jesus says, come after me, look like me, so people can't tell the difference between me and you. But emulate me to be my successor. In a sense, he is saying, you know, when I've finished here, when I retire from this business, I want you. I'm handing it over to you. We are to come after the Lord Jesus Christ, to emulate him, to be his successor, to fish for future followers. Now, a question for you. Put your hand up if you've had COVID. Who here has had COVID? That's pretty much all of you, not quite all of you. Do Do you know, the reason that so many of us have had COVID is it is just so contagious, isn't it? Have you ever wondered why there is nearly 3 billion Christians around the world? It's because this commission of our Lord Jesus Christ is also so contagious. In a sense, we've got a Jesus pandemic. Isn't that good? Something we should be praying for, not immunizing people against. Let's pray for it. And if you've ever read any of the accounts of the Welsh and Hebridean revivals, you knew they had these phrases, who's going to catch Jesus next? Jesus, the compelling King, worthy to give up anything, to follow and fish to him, for him. Now, I must admit, this is the part of what I was going to say tonight where Nick on Wednesday, on the link course, thoroughly stole all my thunder. He did it in a much better, I tell you what, infinitely better, more accessible and amazing way. Those of you who are there, you thoroughly enjoyed it. If you weren't there, what I'm going to do now, in a sense, in the next few minutes, is to advertise how good it was, so that without any excuse, I want to see every one of us in this room on Wednesday, 7:15 for 7:30, to go through what it means to fish. So we are to be followers that fish for future followers. Come follow me, and I shall make you fishers of men. Now, I know in a society that kind of says, well, that's good for you, and what's good for me, and none the twain shall meet. It can be quite unnerving when it talk about telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, or evangelism, as we call it. And I know if we're in an open environment and somebody mentions the word evangelism, suddenly half the room switches off. And then if I was to say, how would you like to do evangelism this year? And as soon as someone shouts out, let's do door-to-door, 98% of you turn off because you say, that's not for me and I can't do it. My aim in what I'm going to say now is to simply to say, as Nick did on Wednesday, and compliment what he said. Do you know what? Whether we realize it or not, we are already pre-wired evangelists. Now, I'm going to put on screen what I call the 10 C's of evangelism, and it ties into some of what Nick was doing. Forgive me, I don't want it to complicate it, but hopefully it'll complement it. Okay? And my aim here is just to show you that we're already doing it, and we already can do it. Let's not make evangelism sort of for the elite, you know, as if in the world to come, there's this special mansion up there, closer to the Lord. Who's in there? Oh, they're the evangelists. We're all doing it already. So I'm going to put on screen, it is a diagram. It is a load of information. I would have spent more time, but there's no need to, okay? I call this, and you probably can't read it, the 10 C's of evangelism. Okay, I'm going to get you to put your hand up. Who here is coming to contact with a human today? The fact that you're here, the answer is you have. Okay, you're 10% an evangelist without even trying. No matter how we fish for future followers, the first step is to come into contact with people, and we're doing it already. Do you know, when it comes to evangelism, we can build it up as an impossible thing, but when we deconstruct it like this, I want to show us that we can very easily to do it. Now, if I was to ask us a question, church, how should we do evangelism this year? I know a number of us will come up with some creative ideas. But if I ask a different question, church, how can we come into contact with people this year? Do you see how suddenly, bang, the number of options just blows? Because you're already doing it. We're already coming into contact with people. And when we come into contact with people, I don't know about you, but I generally say hello. I try to have a conversation with them. If that's you, you're 20% an evangelist without you realized it. And of course, that conversation, and now this is where Nick was talking about his rings, how our conversation goes from facts to opinions to beliefs. You know, when we connect with someone, have a conversation with someone, we want to connect with them, and we connect with them by showing that we care for them and we're concerned with them. And our ultimate goal in our conversation is that we have an opportunity to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Nick is taking us through and the Lent course. How do I go from that contact to talking about our Lord Jesus Christ? What day is it? Wednesday. What time? Okay, be there. But what I'm going to do, I'm just going to complete my 10 C's. Just to show us how we're doing that already. Now, what I was going to do, but when it comes to the challenge, to have somebody to be challenged about the truth claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I achieve that? No, that's what Jesus does. When it comes in our conversations to a point where somebody is convicted of their sin in their own life, do you know, I'm sinful before God. Is that what I can do? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. When it comes to converting, that is, I'm going to put away my old way of life. I'm now going to live for Jesus. Can I do that in someone's life? No, it's what Jesus does. And how about the next stages when they become more like Christ? Can I do that? That's the Spirit of Christ. In a way, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us 40% of our evangelistic efforts for free because he does it. And being that the first half on the right-hand side, we're doing naturally anyway, all we've got to focus is on that 20%, which is how do we turn our conversation into talking about our Lord Jesus Christ? And if that's your question, Wednesday, 7:15 for 7:30, best come on here, Nick, a fisher of men. Funny enough, the of men. The way we fish for people will change over time. Telling them I'd go to church and invite them. When I was at work, what I was doing was spending time with my colleagues, whether it was chatting with them at lunchtime, whether it was after work. I would be the one that would drive them to the nights out. It's amazing what conversations you can have with people once they've had a pint, and I hadn't. It was really, really a great opportunity. And as a pastor, it's getting to know my neighbours. The best way to get know your neighbours is to ask them their opinion. Whether you want it or not, or whether you want advice on how to do something, it doesn't matter. Oh, I'm thinking of doing this. How would you do it? Conversation starts. As a parent, it's at the gate. I get there early so I can get to know some of the parents and chat to them while we're waiting to go into school. And we've had amazing opportunities recently to... There's a family that's struggling, so we could have their kids for a couple of nights to give them a break. There's many ways in which we can open up opportunities to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And when my father-in-law was in hospital, it was just through loving him that it spoke of Christ. Because when he did finally pass, one of the nurses says, "Can you tell me what church you're part of? Because your family, the way you deal with those who are dying is amazing, and I want to be part of that community." And when my mum was in palliative care, the way we spoke and cared for the carers who, I don't know how they do. If you're in that industry, I don't know how you cope with it. It's amazing what they do. There are many different ways that we can fish for Christ. In the same way, if you go fishing, depending on what you're fishing for, the tackle changes. So in our lives, how we fish for the Lord Jesus Christ changes over time. Jesus is the compelling King, worthy of giving up anything to follow and fish for him. Now, I started by telling you our story, Laura's story. I wonder whether she thinks it's worth it. Actually, don't answer that question. Do you know, when I wrote this, I had not planned her being here, so it's doesn't always come out in the evenings because of kids, of course. I don't know. You'll have to ask her that question, was it worth it? Do you know, imagine those fishermen on the beach. They could have just said, "Yeah, whatever, be on your way, not listening to you. Who do you think you are?" Had they had that response, they would never have been part of the most amazing, the greatest movement that this world has ever known. And the amazing thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't walk along saying, "Fire," chasing everybody out. He said, "Follow. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will have rest for your souls." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the compelling King, worthy of giving up.